We've come to Los Angeles, California. We're at what is known as the Wilshire District, and we're talking to Paula Winslow, who perhaps is best known to radio fans for her performance as the long-suffering wife, Peg, the wife of Chester Riley on The Life of Riley. But I know you've done so many things. Thank you for having us visit you today.
I'm delighted to have you. It's very great pleasure to talk with you.
You did an awful lot of work. Yes. During radio days, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Where did it start for you? I always like to ask people, where did it start? We go way back.
Well,
so far back.
I went to New York and studied drama for a year with a lady called Marta Oatman. And I met Charles Carroll, who was, he's gone now, but he was a very fine actor. And when I came back, I got into radio, really through his suggestion. I didn't have any intention of going to radio. I was going to do some stage work. But I started, the first thing I ever did was a show with Mrs. Wallace Reed. You remember the famous
movie star, Wallace Reed
mm-hmm. actor? And she had a little show, that was the very first thing. Then I went to...
This was New York? This was in New York?
No, this was all in Los Angeles. Yeah. This was
how did you? Whoa! How did you
I
get from?
I went to New York and then returned to Los Angeles.
Oh, you're originally from
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah,
but you felt the stage.
But yes,
would
but
be
I,
New York,
I yeah. always planned on going on the stage, mm-hmm. but I never did. I ended up in radio, so busy that I never got anywhere else. So then I went on to do a lot of shows at the old KHJ studio. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that when you've talked with some of the people, you remember how
KHJ
active
was
that was.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And did a number of shows down there. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we who were in radio at that time did the first of the transcontinental shows that emanated from KHJ. From east, from west to east. Mm-hmm. A Woodbury show with Bing Crosby. Mm-hmm. And then I think Luella Parsons had a show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we also did a show with, my memory is failing me. Alexander Wolcott did
the
shows
crier.
With him. And then we did an awfully good show called Mobile Magazine, which was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something like The March of Time. But that was an interesting mm-hmm. show. So before old KHJ was no longer a good studio, and they moved to the big new CBS, mm-hmm. We had already begun to do some of the transcontinental shows. But then they built the new studios on Sunset,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and all the
Which
shows.
Was
and then
Columbia
on
Square, I think.
Yeah,
they called
that
it
was.
That
mm-hmm.
So you were freelancing right from the beginning, or
yes.
were you on staff at
No,
KHJ?
I was always freelancing. Mm-hmm. They didn't. I think maybe one or two people might have had a contract, but mm-hmm. Most of us were freelance. However, I did many shows for several years.
Mm-hmm.
I was constantly on them. I did Hollywood Hotel, do you remember that?
Oh, sure.
Was on that for five mm-hmm. years.
In various roles?
Various roles, uh-huh. yes. A supporting role. We would support the stars. Mm-hmm. If they would have, for instance, if Betty Davis did Dark Victory, mm-hmm. I did the part that Geraldine Fitzgerald did in the picture, you know,
I see.
Second
yeah.
lead.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes we'd do a lead opposite one of the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Then, whatever.
You just went on and on with all of those
mm-hmm.
things. Well, the first, I was gonna say the first big-time role, but there you were with mm-hmm. Hollywood Hotel.
That was the first time that you might have said I had, mm-hmm. Co-starring.
Mm-hmm.
That my name was known a little bit.
Were you getting on-the-air credit at that time?
Yes.
Because
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. I know in some of those earlier
yes.
days they were reluctant to give... credit to the performers.
Reluctant not only to give credit, but to give money. You know, we started for $5
mm-hmm.
a show, and Frank Nelson and I did Witch's Tales, which was an awfully mm-hmm. good show.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in Hollywood was kind of jealous of us because you got $10. And then we got $25 on Hollywood Hotel. So
of course, that was a big-time show.
That
but for the $25... What did you have to do there?
Well, $25, you were theirs, you know, for the week practically. And Bill Bacher, believe me, was, you know, he was the ringleader. And we were there when we were called.
How much rehearsal was required for the Hollywood Hotel, for example?
We rehearsed quite a lot for Hollywood Hotel. We would go very often in the morning at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't get through till 4 or 5 in the afternoon. This was before, you see, AFTRA, mm-hmm. before we had a union, mm-hmm. so that there was unlimited rehearsal time. But during the run of Hollywood Hotel, we began to have the union. Then AFTRA was started. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then things were a little bit better because our rehearsal time was limited.
And they said that you had to get so much money and you couldn't do 3 and 4 and 5 different roles on a show.
That's right. You couldn't do 4 mm-hmm. or 5 roles as sometimes we did.
Did you do many doubling
yes,
like that?
Did
you
I
do
did.
Much of that?
Mm-hmm.
Different type of voice?
Yes.
You did many
yes,
character voices?
Yes, I did everything from babies to Claudette Colbert's grandmother. Oh, yeah. When I was, you know, young, I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm.
Did you do a baby cry? Were you one of the criers?
I wasn't. The best baby crier was Mary Lansing.
Uh-huh.
She was an awfully good baby crier. Some of us did. I have done it, but I wasn't. But she was there were people who were sort of known for things, and mm-hmm. Mary was the best baby crier. She was marvelous.
Well, a lot of people, I think, in the radio business, and I suppose in screen work and even TV, they get, I guess the word is typecast, but
yes.
maybe not, but they're known for these kinds of mm-hmm. certain roles, and they'd say, well,
that's true.
You're one of the dependables, so we call them
yeah,
and
that's
do
right.
this sort of thing.
Well, I was very fortunate in, forgive me, you know, for saying, but quite versatile.
That's good.
And
no.
I did a lot mm-hmm. of accents, mm-hmm. and I was able to do many ages in my mm-hmm. voice, even mm-hmm. when I was just a young girl. So I really had an awfully good time. I did a lot on a Big Town, for instance, mm-hmm. with Edward Robinson. I did all kinds of interesting roles.
You spent a lot of time working with Robinson on Big
Town? Yeah, I worked 5 years on Big Town.
Yeah. Well,
and I worked a number of years on Silver Theater.
Mm-hmm.
My claim to fame is that Clark Gable asked for me to be his leading lady.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, two or three times.
On Silver Theater?
Silver Theater. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I was very thrilled.
That's pretty good.
Yes, it was pretty good.
And was he really a lady killer?
He was a very nice man. He never made any kind of overtures to anybody. Mm-hmm. He was just a big, good, kind of a man's man, you mm-hmm. know. No, mm-hmm. he was, and very nice. And kept, you know, very nice, not an actory kind of man at all. Everybody liked him, you know, men and women.
Was he comfortable with radio?
He seemed to be. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were quite nervous, surprisingly.
Yeah, well, you must have done a number of Lux Radio Theater broadcasts over the years.
A lot of those.
And I understand that many times the big movie stars who would come in to perform on the show, along with a whole cast of radio people, the movie stars were very uncomfortable and really nervous about doing
it. Oh, they were terribly nervous, mm-hmm. some of them, terribly. I did a show one time with Rex Harrison, you know, this mm-hmm. marvelous, elegant man who was so experienced. I was just, literally, the paper just shaking, just shaking in his head. Yes, many of them were very good. Well, some of the people were absolutely marvelous. When visually,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but some of them were not all. Some of them were not stage trained,
mm-hmm.
and were uncomfortable when they had only the voice to work with. Now that's understandable.
And they were probably unaccustomed to facing a studio audience of 200 or 300 people.
Well, looking at them and reading lines mm-hmm. into a metal thing hanging down. And on the screen, they were marvelous mm-hmm. and so effective. And I can understand that. It was a very mechanical kind of thing. You mm-hmm. had to learn how to use that mic. And we all got used to that. The ones mm-hmm. who started, as you can understand, it's like a child learning and from scratch. Mm-hmm. And so it never bothered us. We would emote, you know, to this thing, this piece of metal hanging down, and never felt self-conscious. You know Glenn Howell Taylor?
Yes.
He wrote a book, you know. He wrote in about showing how unconscious we were about anything except just our voice and doing the lines. I was very pregnant with my son. And finally, this was on Silver Theater, and I worked regularly. I was on every week. So finally, Glenn Hall said, you're looking a little bit pregnant, so I think maybe we better just let you do the commercial. So I said, oh, I'm glad to get the money, be on the show. So it was for Silver, International Silver, or one of the Silver companies. And we never thought anything about it. I got up to the microphone,
in front of a studio audience.
Right in front of a big studio audience, big CBS studio. And I had a line that says, "It's lovely, and yet it's a bit frightening. Tomorrow I'm going to be Mrs. Anderson." And somebody in the audience went, and you could just hear this. And Glenn Hall in the glass booth fell right down on the floor, just hid right behind us. I never thought a thing about it at all. And I kept my poise, of course, and went on to the end with this commercial. But that was the end, needless to say, of my appearance. From then on, they put me behind the curtain. But that was funny. That was really funny.
Now, the commercials, you just mentioned, they put you behind the curtain. The commercials were often done away from the studio audience.
Lux, they did. They were always done off the stage.
So that was interesting. The studio audience didn't. They may have heard that, but they didn't get to see
the commercials. But many of them were also done right in front of the audience. Mm-hmm. They would just stop, the music, and then they would come and do the... They did that on Life of Riley. Mm-hmm. The girls would read the commercials, or the men, right on the stage.
Well, let's talk about the Life of Riley, since that was really... you were on that show virtually from the beginning, weren't you?
I think it was around 8 years that we did
the
that.
The whole thing. It really was one of the best comedy shows on radio, and it week after week provided great entertainment for those who tuned in. And William Bendix was basically Riley right off the bat. Now, what kind of a guy was he to work with?
Well, the reason that the show was so good is that he was also stage trained, so he knew how to get a lot of fun out of the voice, as well as from his face. He looked like Riley, because they later did it in television, but none of us were given the television show. They changed the whole cast. But he was very good with his... He was funny, vocally, very funny. And, I just loved him. He and I just got along beautifully. And his wife was such a nice woman. He was very, very friendly with all of us, entertained us at his home many times, and very good, very professional.
And, now, you played Peg, his wife, on the show. How did that come about? How did you get that job?
I auditioned for it. Irving Brecker was the one who created the show and then owned it. And I auditioned for it.
Did they have like an open hall for
that? Oh, yes.
And there were many
a number of people, yes.
And did they ever say to you why you got that over other people? What was it about your voice or your acting ability that...
They just liked the way I was able to learn to read with Bill. We sort of did well together. Just one of those things.
There was a great interpretation of that role that you did, because at once you had to be, you were Riley's loving wife. You were also tolerant of the shenanigans that he would get involved in. You were intolerant of many of the things that he did.
Well, he could be exasperating.
Yeah. and in so many cases, they would do a flashback to when Peg and Chester first met, or went on a date, or had the baby, and Junior or Babs. And it was interesting how the two of you and Bendix, would, I guess you would just lighten your voices to shave off the years, and go through it. It was marvelous.
Yeah.
You did a wonderful job with all of that. You had fun doing that show, didn't
you?
Oh,
yes. Oh, yes. We all worked together, and they had an awfully good cast. You know, John Brown.
Mm-hmm. John Brown really was one of the great second bananas, I guess
yes,
you might say.
He was
did
very
so
good at
much,
it.
And he
very
doubled on this show. He did Gillis.
Yeah, he did Gillis, and then he did the
Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Digby O'Dell. Yeah. What kind of a guy was John Brown?
Well, he was a very interesting a man, and mm-hmm. very experienced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he also was thoroughly professional, mm-hmm. you know, to work. We didn't over-rehearse on that show mm-hmm. because everybody was so good. He was very interesting, very...
How often...
We weren't as close as some of the... Mm-hmm. I wasn't as well, I was with Bill.
You may have played some scenes with Gillis. Rarely would you play a scene with Brown as the Digby. Mm-hmm. That Digby was just a little...
Yeah.
And he was popular on that. He was,
yes,
that was a great minute and a half for you.
Well, that was a really wonderful character that he created. How that came about,
I don't know, but it was perfect. Because if you were to think about an Undertaker, I mean, you can't imagine that an Undertaker would be funny on a radio show. And he was the only one in all those
And so different, you know, absolutely mm-hmm. different from Gillis.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing that.
How much, you talked about the little rehearsal. What kind of rehearsal time did
we
you
rehearsed,
have to do for that?
I'm so getting along in years, as they say, and sometimes it's so long ago that it's hard for me to remember, but I think we only rehearsed the night before for, you know, a few hours, mm-hmm. not terribly long, and then came back to the studio early the next day and went through and did with the orchestra and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really only 2 days that we did that, and we seldom had any difficulty at all.
Did you have to do two shows, one for the repeat broadcast for a while?
Gee.
You know, because time differences.
We did two, oh, heavens above, I can't, I guess we did mm-hmm. do two shows mm-hmm. On Riley, because... isn't that awful?
Well, the time difference.
All those years, I did so many shows.
Well,
so many shows that did one show and so many shows that did two shows. Mm-hmm. But I believe we did do two shows.
When you were doing the Life of Riley, were you also working in other shows at that time?
Yes.
Or were you did?
Yeah, I didn't have an exclusive
mm-hmm.
contract.
You didn't
I was
have
able
much.
To. But I didn't do too many mm-hmm. other things because...
Did you have...
But I was still working. I still worked, for instance, like Lux.
Mm-hmm.
Few of the other things.
You could do some of the Lux.
Mm-hmm.
Lux was one of those shows that really would almost demand a tremendous amount of time in a week.
Yes,
right?
They had quite a lot of rehearsal mm-hmm. on that, and it was an hour show too, a mm-hmm. long mm-hmm. show. All these others were only half hours, and Lux was a long, quite a long rehearsal time.
Mm-hmm.
Took
it was a
lot of time.
Prestigious program, yeah. And they
yes, it was.
Yeah, now that was
big Sunday show, you know.
Yeah. Monday night. Lux was Monday night.
Monday
later.
Night.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, we mm-hmm. seems to me we rehearsed on Sunday sometimes. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I know we did.
Yes.
Did rehearsal. We rehearsed mm-hmm. Sunday during the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On Riley, did you have a, you said you didn't have an exclusive contract, but you did have a contract. Was it a year-to-year contract? Or was
yes.
it
mm-hmm.
run-of-the-show
yes.
kind of thing?
Yes. And a certain amount of money agreed
mm-hmm.
to. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You smile with that, so you must have gotten nicely paid for doing
well,
that.
Well, right? Yes. More, believe me, more so than some of the others. But as I said, by that time, of course, mm-hmm. We were all in a little better situation mm-hmm. with the mm-hmm. union.
Did you have any other recurring roles on other broadcasts?
For a while, I did on Big Tone. I did mm-hmm. His secretary. Miss Foster, mm-hmm. but then he kind of liked the roles that I did. I was able to do the character things, you know, and the mm-hmm. other things. So I didn't do that for very long. Someone else took that part over, and then I began to do mm-hmm. the odds and ends of mm-hmm. the character, which I really liked much better.
You did I believe, some suspense programs.
Oh,
and
yes.
Some other really good mystery things and stuff.
If your wife wouldn't mind, right over there on the top of that book, dear, on the top, is a list of some of the shows that I... Oh, that's my scrapbook.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's some interesting pictures in there, too, you might enjoy looking at later on.
You were in Calling All Cars, and did Art Schobler's? Was that...
Now, that I did a regular part on that. I played the girl and then the soprano, charming woman. I can't remember her name.
And you did occasional work you worked
that,
with?
That I did a running part on that. Mm-hmm. That was with Charlie Winninger, remember?
Oh, yeah. The was that Showboat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. Sure. That's Captain Henry.
Yeah. Captain Henry. He did that on the air. Yeah.
And you worked with... the comedians, Jack Benny and Bob Hope, and Fibber McGee and Molly, too.
Oh, yeah. I worked a lot on Fibber McGee and Molly, and quite a lot on The Great Gildersleeve.
Oh, yeah. Now, in various roles? Or
yes, I had one little part that I would reprise on Great Gildersleeve with little Dottie, the next-door neighbor, and then others. Then the other things were just any time they wanted it, any odds and ends of... voices.
And occasionally you'd come in on R. Miss Brooks and with Dennis Day and some of those. And you had a really nice career with all of this.
Yeah. Miss Brooks, I was fortunate enough to do the television show too with her. I played Gail Gordon's wife on that for a while.
I'm telling you, that's right.
Yeah, that's
You're
right.
reminding
that's
me.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah,
that's
I remember
right.
That.
Yeah.
Well, what other things did you do in TV? You must have had an
I
easy
did
change
some Lucy shows, and I did a lot of Ozzie and Harriet shows, and I did the Robert Cummings show, and I did Perry Mason shows, and I can't remember. Quite a lot.
Certainly did an awful lot. You made an easy transition then from radio to television. Mm-hmm. Yet they didn't choose you for the TV Riley.
No,
broadcast.
Nobody. Not even John Brown.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They was Marjorie Reynolds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at first it was...
Totally different type and...
they made a regular... Well, it lasted a long time.
They didn't think at that time that anybody who was just in radio would be able to act in front of a camera.
Yeah, well, that's like Fibber McGee and Molly. They went in with two other people.
I know,
and how could anybody be... Anybody but Fibber and Molly, Jim and Mary and Jordan, you know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you do any movie work?
No. Well, a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Nothing very startling. Mm-hmm. I did a couple of shows with Irving Brecker, but little, tiny little things. Mm-hmm. I never did any really major film work. Mm-hmm.
How about commercials? Did you do...
Yeah, I did quite a lot of commercials.
Did you? Mm-hmm. For various sponsors and products?
Uh-huh. I'm not... never a spokeswoman, but I did quite a lot of commercials because after I was with Jack Wormser Agency for quite a while, I did quite a lot of commercials.
What was your best time?
Was the early time. The best time was when I was doing Riley and Big Town and Silver Theater and Lux. Those were awfully good days. Worked with Eddie Cantor a lot. He was an awfully nice man. Very, very good to us. And working with all the wonderful, wonderful movie stars. Worked with Cary Grant and Fred Astaire and John Barrymore.
Oh, gee.
Doing parts, opposite and Clark Gable.
That was nice because these people, in many cases, were not as accustomed to the microphone, as you had said, as you were. So you must have felt that extra confidence in there, too.
Yes,
to
we
perform.
Did. We did feel quite confident. Mm-hmm. We felt that we were, I would say, maybe in some time, slightly superior. We did have great confidence in our, because we started and we learned our craft. And it was, we did feel confidence. But I don't mean that we ever showed that in front of stars, for heaven's sake. But,
well, you were there to do the job that you were supposed
to
do, and you and some of the others
felt very secure, But it was a wonderful time to be able to meet all those people. Work with Al Jolson, for instance. Mm-hmm. I did his show for quite a long time. Very interesting.
Which
I would never in
that?
A million years yeah. have had a chance of meeting him. You know.
Which series was that, the Jolson? Was that the
show? His show. He had his own show out yeah, here with Martha Ray.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he had always had a little dramatic interlude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I did that those parts regularly. Either with him or that was one I did a scene with John Barrymore.
Well, you've had some nice memories from
yes,
all of this.
Wonderful. Worked and Lux mm-hmm. worked with Paul Muni. I talk mm. about an actor. There mm-hmm. was a genius.
You've wonderful. Contributed a lot to what we call the golden days of radio.
Well, they were very good to me, mm-hmm. and I hope I did in this way, and along with some of the other people that I remember so fondly.
Well, you and those days of radio were good to the listeners, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so on their behalf, and I'm one of them, I thank you.
Well, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that, and I hope we all earned it. I know that we all have wonderful memories of those days.
You did, and those sounds that you created in so many instances, they still live, and they're still as fresh and as entertaining as they ever were. So I thank you, Paula Winslow, for inviting us
you.
in to reminisce a little bit.
Well, I'm delighted that you came, and it's been a great pleasure.
Thank you very much.